The nation's most popular investment talk show is Mad Money.
Big fan of the show.
It's one guy talking stocks, droning on and on.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And it should make you mad, as in angry or crazy, because you need to hear from a variety of market sources.
Of course, the more the merrier!
You need to get a wide range of ideas. You need some balance, and you need to hear something different just to stay excited about investing in these wild times. This is Money Life Market Call. Different experts every day talking stocks, funds, and more.
You had me at hello, tier.
With experts telling you not just what they're buying and selling, but why. Who cares if it's not the most popular show?
Maybe you didn't have any friends.
It won't make you mad.
This is an outrage.
It will make you smart.
That's right. We do think it's going to make you smart. We always say that we get smarter by swimming in the brain fluid of really smart people. And today we're going to be swimming in the brain fluid of Tim Vick, Senior Portfolio Manager at Naples Trust Company. It's pretty simple. If you want more information, they've made it easy. It's NaplesTrustCompany.com. Tim has been on the show in the past. And if you say, wait, Naples Trust Company, I don't understand. You know, it's not some investment management in the name or what have you. Well, you'll understand why Tim is on the show pretty quickly, because he's got a well-articulated approach. That's always what we say we are interested in. Tim Vick, welcome back to Money Life.
It's a pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Now, of course, I may have just jinxed you. I just said you've got a well-articulated approach to how you do this. Now we need you to articulate it.
Well, I think we should have a well-articulated approach. We've been in the business about 15 years now, and at our trust company, we've always put an emphasis on two things, on quality and on patience, and that emphasis, I think, has really helped us navigate the economic climates and all the constant media noise we're hearing. And quality and patience, I think, perfectly matches what our clients really ask of us. We're in the business of managing folks' retirement savings, and they want us to sustain those savings for the rest of their lives, and in many cases, the lives of their kids and grandkids, and they don't want us playing trial and error games with their portfolios. So our approach has always been rather back to basics. We focus on quality companies. We buy them at good prices. We focus on a long holding period to allow time and just the natural appreciation of the companies to give rise to the appreciation of the shares over time. And we have focused portfolios. We don't spend our time looking at hundreds and hundreds of companies. We really like to put the best 20 or 30 in a portfolio and hold them long for a long period of time, and that has been a very workable solution and has been something very satisfactory to the clients.
Define a little more thoroughly quality, because quality can mean a lot of things. To one person, quality is a good, solid track record of growth. To somebody else, quality is no debt on the balance sheet. What goes into quality for you?
Well, quality, in our definition, must go back to the training I got from Warren Buffett's methodology, which means established publicly traded companies. These are industry leaders, of course, companies that are growing faster than their competitors, picking up market share, growing faster than their respective economies. We want companies that have great managers and cultures, many times companies that have been led by the same folks in the corporate suite for 20, 30 years. We want companies that have high returns on equity and capital. Certainly a good balance sheet with very little debt is going to be advantageous to us. And we want to identify companies in profitable industries. And there aren't always consistently profitable companies in profitable industries and ones that have sustainable growing cash flows. We've looked at hundreds of companies. We've looked at all the industries over time. And we've determined that a lot of them can just be cast aside. Because if we want sustainable growth, there's really only six or seven industries that have a long track record of giving you sustainable growth. That's business services, financial services, consumer products, information technology, healthcare, pharmaceuticals, and some portions of manufacturing where there's some value added to the processes. But you tie all that together, and also you pick companies where the managements and the boards have a good track record of capital allocation, good dividend-paying policies. They don't make senseless mergers. And they return money through share buybacks. You put all those ingredients together, and you get them at good prices. You hold them a long period of time. I think you're going to do quite well.
Where does the big picture market stuff fit in, or is it just about that creates an opportunity to buy generally more than it's going to create anything else?
Well, at our company, we don't like to react. We study our companies first, and we will spend all our time on 90 or 100 of what we think are the best companies, and then we just can patiently wait. And sometimes we might wait a couple of years until they're attractively priced, but we know them ahead of time, and we know that an occasional opportunity may open up where the price may dip 15, 20, 25%, and that's very common in the market, and it gives us the opportunity to jump in and pick them up cheaply at a price that's going to give the clients a decent rate of return, and we do that over and over. I think we're going to do well, and that's really the part of the patience formula that we have for clients, that you mix in not only your emphasis on fundamental quality, but you have to have an even temperament. You just kind of wait and pick off companies that you know well, pick them off at decent prices, and make sure they're priced for the rate of return you need to deliver for your clients.
So what's an example or two? Who's the poster child for, we can buy it, it's reasonable, it's well-managed, and we're going to hold it for a long time?
Well, we've got a lot of those. We've got companies like Berkshire Hathaway, of course, Warren Buffett's holding company. We've had that in portfolios for many, many years. There's other financial services companies we like Visa and MasterCard. PayPal is something we've added to portfolios here in the last year, especially after it was spun out from eBay. We like another company called BlackRock, which is the giant money management firm that issues and iShares and ETFs in the retail space. We like companies like Home Depot and Lowe's. We've added Starbucks. There are a lot of quality investments out there. They're not necessarily dirt cheap right now because we've had a nice run-up in the market not only this year but in the last 5 years. So we have to pay more attention to price, knowing that if you're buying at today's levels, you're not going to get the return you could have gotten if you were buying in, let's say, 2012 or 2013. But you just have to be a little more patient, but the names are out there.
I want to go back on one of those names.
Sure.
Now, we say every day on this show that disagreement makes a market. And we had somebody talk PayPal on the show just the other day. Now, he didn't disagree. You have PayPal as a long-term buy, so does he. But the interesting side is he's the most bearish manager we have on. He literally runs, his name is Brad Lammensdorf, he runs the Ranger Equity Bear ETF. And he's normally bearish about absolutely everything. He's much more trend follower. When you look at a name like PayPal, which may wind up being a wide moat company, but it's still, as you point out, you like it when it was spun off on its own. But compared to Visa and MasterCards, which are industry giants that sort of seem unassailable, how much do you worry that, like, okay, well, here's the hot company. It's got the great growth potential, but it also is drawing all the eyeballs of all the competitors.
It is, and we know the margins are going to be coming down over time, but we also see the entire pie of that industry growing. And that pie is payments processing, whether on the Internet. And PayPal is in a leading position. It's got a good brand presence. We think they've got a good management. They've got good operational efficiencies. And over time, we think just that swelling pie is going to make them a good growth stock. And from time to time, it may get mispriced. It may be overvalued to the point where, we won't be aggressive buyers of it. And it may at some point, open up a decent opportunity if we had a good sell-off. We look at PayPal as something that near-term, it might be more neutral, but longer-term, we think it'll fit in nicely in the financial services space for us.
What ultimately makes you sell? You talk about long-term and being patient. So we know, and not being reactive, so we know what's not going to make you sell is a headline. What makes you give up on a company, or what makes you say it's time to go?
Well, sometimes it's egregious pricing. If we see a stock that has vaulted in price 100% in the last couple of years and has given us the return we would have expected over 7 or 8 years, it perhaps is a time to evaluate and see whether we can get a forward rate of return that makes sense to the clients. Could be a situation where the company has either lost its moat, or perhaps there's something going on in management, or the thesis has changed for the company. And I'll give you two examples. Recently, we parted ways with Apple and Wells Fargo. Wells was one of our sole holdings in the banking space anymore. We don't believe banking can provide the returns on equity that it could in the past. And Wells was really the last holdout, the last company delivering solid margins and a good growth story. But just lately, not only from the public and headlines regarding the investigations, but just seeing the fact that interest rates are being driven down and held down by the Federal Reserve tells us that the core business of spread lending has gotten so competitive that even a Wells is going to have difficulty making the profits grow at decent rates in the future. And that's going to call into question really why it's going to be in long-term portfolios. Apple was another situation where we were banking on a lot of growth out of China over the next several years, and China has really implemented some policies and some procedures that are going to favor Apple's competitors in China and give the home companies, I think, better market share in the future. So that gave us pause that Apple wasn't going to be the growth story we wanted. It's probably now a good value play because they'll hike their dividends substantially. They'll buy back a lot of stock. But we didn't buy it as a value play. We bought it as a growth stock, and it no longer fit the criteria as being one of our 20 or 25 best growth stories.
We don't hear many people selling on Apple, but that's a very interesting perspective and, again, helps people understand how the process works. Now we're going to see how the process works for them because it's time to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's hold it or fold it time with Tim Vick, Senior Portfolio Manager at Naples Trust Company. It's NaplesTrustCompany.com for more information. Now, hold it or fold it is where we put our guest to your test. And if you'd like to test our guest, all you need to do is send us your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in. Stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, closed-end funds, whatever you got, send it to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add it to our list, and hopefully it'll make it into an interview soon. One of the people who did that is Chris in Morrisville, North Carolina, who wants to know about Nike, NKE.
Well, I would tell Chris to definitely hold it. It looks very intriguing now that the stock has fallen quite a bit from its $68 high, and that's because the earnings have disappointed in the last couple of quarters. There's some worries that perhaps they're losing some market share to Adidas and such. We don't see that as being a long-term trend. Adidas is coming off its bottom. It's had its own operational difficulties a couple of years ago, and it had nowhere to go but up and steal some market share from the likes of Nike. But their last quarterly earnings came out just recently. Their earnings were up 9%. Their revenues were up, I think, 10% in constant currencies. The brand lines of clothing were up 10% in terms of revenue growth. Those are sustainable numbers, and those are numbers we want to see in portfolios. So definitely a hold.
And is it a true hold, like you're waiting for a better price, as you sort of hinted, or is it buying right now?
We'd be buying right now, and if it wants to get cheaper, we'd want to buy even more.
That is a buy on Nike, NKE.
I'm in this for the long haul.
Next, for Mike in Redwood City, California, it's CME Group, which is CME.
CME is the old Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Through the acquisition of three other exchanges, is now one of the powerhouses around the world in terms of controlling derivatives contracts and the trading of them. I like this company. I would definitely hold it. It basically is a toll bridge. Every time there's a contract trading, and I think they do about 15 or 16 million contracts a day in interest rate futures, crude oil futures and such, corn, and they get something like 75 cents for each of those contracts. And that translates into earnings power right now of about $4 a share. The stock's maybe a little bit pricey right now, but I think they have a glamorous franchise, and it's a very wide moat stock, and long-term, I think you're going to do very well with it. If you can get it cheaper, I would certainly buy it, but I have no problem putting it into a portfolio right now.
That's a buy on CME Group, ticker symbol CME.
Money in the bank.
Joe in Colorado Springs wants to know about Enbridge. That's ENB.
Well, I know Enbridge pretty well, Joe, and that's because it's in the process of trying to acquire a company we like called Spectra Energy. We think the merger of Enbridge and Spectra is actually going to be a positive for both shareholder bases. The yield right now is probably about 3.7%. They have about $25 billion in revenues. Merging it with Spectra is not going to cause any extra risk. It's going to just add to the portfolio of assets that will probably enhance the dividend-paying prospects of both Enbridge and Spectra. So if you have either of those companies right now, I'd definitely hold them.
Although we call it hold it or fold it, those were buys. That's your buying.
That's a buy, yes.
So it's a buy. It's a double buy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Enbridge, ENB, or Spectra Energy, SE, the other side of that deal. Our last two requests come from Dale in London, Ohio, but the first one he shares with Roger in Star, South Carolina. It's for Realty Income, ticker symbol O.
That is an outstandingly run real estate investment trust. They own a lot of freestanding office units and convenience stores around the country. I believe they're in about 47 or 48 of the states. The stock has sold off, as have a lot of dividend-paying real estate investment trusts here in the last month or so. The yield is now a lot more attractive, 3.6%. Their growth rate, I would say, is probably in the neighborhood of 3 to 5%. They've got about 98% occupancy on their properties. You couple that with a little bit of rental appreciation, and you can get a decent rate of growth without acquisitions. And that should translate into dividend growth. That's probably going to translate, you know, 3 to 5% as well. So I started looking at Realty Income a couple of years ago when they were paying, I think, $1.60 a share in dividends. Now we're up to $2.40. I think over time you're going to do well with it. My only concern would be the price. Realty Income had risen probably 70 or 75% over the last 2 years, well above what the S&P 500 has done, and it's probably due for some sort of pullback. So I would not be an aggressive buyer right now.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
That's hold, looking for that opportunistic buy on Realty Income. And then last, again for Dale, AmeriGas, APU.
AmeriGas is a distributor of propane. If you live up in the Northeast and you have those big tanks in your backyard, it's most assuredly a AmeriGas distributor or local entity that the AmeriGas has bought that is providing you that. And it's a great little franchise. They grow their profits at very low levels, 1% or 2% a year. There's not a lot of growth in the company, but they take all their profits, return it to you in the form of a dividend. I believe that yield is close to about 8% right now, and that's a sustainable yield. So if you're buying into that company, don't expect much share price appreciation, but look for about a total return equal to the yield. And if you're in for it for income purposes, I think that's one of the most excellent vehicles out there. So at today's prices, I would say definitely that's a buy.
Buy, buy, buy! Is that all you can think about?
Well, it's all we can think about because we have to say our goodbyes to Tim Vick. But first, let me remind you, that was a buy on AmeriGas APU. I buy into having Tim Vick back on the show whenever he wants to come. Tim, I hope that won't be in the too distant future.
Well, I enjoy it, Chuck. Thank you very much.
Tim Vick is Senior Portfolio Manager for Naples Trust Company. For more information, NaplesTrustCompany.com. All right, we're just about done with today's show, but Tim talked about a couple of stocks that other recent guests have mentioned. We'll see how his recommendations stacked up with theirs before we send you home for the day. We'll do that right after this message, so stay tuned.